We offer a wonderful course here in Ananda, Palo Alto, called Raja Yoga. As I look around, I see many of you, but not all, have taken it. And now we offer it twice a year because of its greatness and its magnetism. But it's a four-month, we call it an immersion course into the teachings of yoga. It's not specifically about Ananda. It's not about this path, but rather it really touches on every aspect of yoga. It was written by Swami Kriyananda many years ago now. I know there are some people sitting here who have probably taught it for 15 years, and I don't know how many years I've taught it or how many times I've read it, but it's been a lot. And every class, literally every class, so now that's 14 times 2, 28 evenings a year, I'm just amazed with the depth and the clarity and the inspiration that Swamiji has put into this course. It really is about how to become spiritually free, is what it's about. He does it in a very interesting way. He starts with sort of a factual, easy to hear, because people are often walking in and taking this course as the first course, just feeling drawn to wanting to know more about spirituality, but not having a real depth of understanding of yoga. So I think I've said this in here before. He starts with, why are we studying yoga now? What are the different paths? It's sort of easy for the mind to grasp. But as the course goes on, and right now we are at week number 11 or 12, so we're nearing the end, it always grabs me, because what has happened in these weeks is that it's gone from easy for the mind to get to the most subtle truths about the spiritual path. And he does that. He takes us on this journey, which I realized as I was reading this reading yesterday, is really a journey about how to develop faith, how to reach that point of self-realization, true self-realization. That is when we know beyond a doubt that we are not just one with the divine, but that the divine is manifesting through us. And he shows us over and over in this course, in one beautiful way after another, that there is, in fact, an unchanging reality to this world, that there is absolute joy, absolute truth, absolute love, and that no matter who we are, no matter what path we're on, there is a way to find ourselves back in the knowing of that unchangeable truth, that unchangeable reality. And he really takes us on a journey. In fact, the class that was just taught, and I don't teach the whole course, but I did teach this class, which is what put me in tune with this, is called Spiritual Anatomy, Part 1. And it is what all of Raja Yoga does. Swamiji says to us, this is real. I'm going to start you out with some facts, and then I'm going to take you to your innermost spiritual workings. I'm going to take you on a journey that will teach you about energy. Why do we talk about energy so much? Why is it important? What does energy have to do with magnetism? Well, the greater the flow of energy, the greater the magnetism. We know that even from this physical world. And then what does magnetism have to do with spirituality? And then in his own inimitable way, he shows us everything. The whole path is absolutely about energy and magnetism, because assuming we want to get to know the divine, be more in touch with our own spiritual power, it takes a lot of energy. We have to corral that energy. We need to do everything we can do to draw it into our very center, to do nothing to obstruct it, because the greater the flow of energy, the greater the magnetism. And the greater the magnetism, the more likely we are to magnetize God's presence in our life. The divine is waiting for us to make that invitation, to open to the divine. But we have to be able to raise our energy high enough, expand it enough, raise it enough, that the divine has an opportunity to come in and to reach us. And then Swamiji goes from energy to magnetism to the guru, because really what we're talking about is touching in with the will of God. Just like this story, this very difficult to hear story. Why was it that Yogananda was able to take all of these boys across the waterfall time after time, and nobody ever even got hurt? But the year that he leaves, one of the other younger teachers decides he can do it. Big mistake. He can't do it. But God can do it. And we contact God in the form of our guru. It is our job on this spiritual path that Swamiji is walking us down, to be trying to attune ourselves ever more perfectly to divine will. That is where all spiritual power comes from. And then in this chapter on spiritual anatomy, and I was really struck by this the other night, we see that in order to get that energy, which is being drawn out by the extraordinary centrifugal force of Maya, of delusion, of everything calling us out into the world, that it takes so much energy to draw it back in, and not just to draw it in, but to see to it that it doesn't get caught at the base of the spine, the energetic astral spine, but rather through our own magnetism, spinning and spinning, not just faster and faster, but with more energy and with greater flow, removing all obstructions, that all of that energy in the base of our spine is released. And in that release, we attain enlightenment, or what we call on this path, self-realization. What he doesn't say explicitly in that chapter, but what came to me yesterday, is that prayer is the vehicle to take us there. How do we get to that place of faith? Faith is, as Swamiji often says, belief is a hypothesis. Belief is something of the mind. Faith is when we know that to be true beyond a shadow of a doubt, when we feel it with all of our trust in the divine, when it's been shown to us. This is why it's so wonderful that Yogananda puts on the frontispiece of his book, Autobiography of a Yogi, "Lest ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And he's using the word belief their meaning. You won't know God. You won't believe these are truths that I'm speaking to you throughout this book, throughout my life, the whole purpose of my life. And then he sends us signs and wonders. I was thinking this morning about Asha's book, the book about miracles. Loved and Protected. Thank you. It's a fat book. It's filled with miracles that have happened in all of our Guru Bhai's lives. All of us, many of us, have the miracles that have happened in that book. What a beautiful thing, God reaching out to us and saying, you're not sure you can believe this, or do you need a little bit more of a push to come onto the spiritual path? Let me just show you what is really happening here. I've shared with many of you many times, so I won't tell it in detail now, a story about when I was a nurse working in an intensive care unit, and a patient of mine died late at night. And we proceeded, myself and several doctors, to try and resuscitate this man. And the doctors really wanted to stop the resuscitation. I was the nurse. Shouldn't really think of me as calling the shots. But at a moment in that resuscitation, my attention was drawn up to the corner of a room, and I see this man who I'd been taking care of for a couple weeks up in the corner, just up there, totally like himself, and he winks at me. And so I said to the doctors, no, we are not stopping this resuscitation. It was very compelling. And I just tell you, the man had all of the signs of being brain dead. You've all seen this on television, but pupils fixed and dilated. Anyway, without going into any gory details here. The next day, when I went to work, and he was alive, and on a respirator, but alive, I said, hey, John, I'm here. How you doing? And he just opened his eye and winked at me. Now, that is a very powerful story. But here's why I'm telling it now. It may have been the first time. I was trying to remember this morning, but I can't. It might have been the first time in my life that with that kind of clarity, a miracle happened. But I immediately went to the phone and I called my mother. I was in DC, she was in Pittsburgh. It's 1 a.m. And I said to her, Mom, I just need to tell you, nothing is what we think it is. I mean, can you imagine you're awakened by a phone call? She said to me, honey, are you okay? Oh, I'm more than okay. Nothing is what we think it is. And that was so important. I don't even know that I could cognize at that point the idea of the miracle, but it awakened in me that knowing that everything is different than what it appears to be, that we live in this world of delusion, of misunderstanding. And we live like it's the truth, but only when something happens like that, maybe something like that happens, then maybe we drive by and we see our wonderful sign, Google can't satisfy every search, and it gets our attention. And then we come in and then we take Raja Yoga. And then for 16 weeks, we are with Swamiji, holding our hand, walking down this path that says, let me show you what the truth is, and let me show you how to get there. And by the time you get to chapter 10 or 11 or 12, and I don't know if there's anybody in this room who's taking Raja Yoga right now, but I look out and I see they're believing. And in the meantime, we're teaching them meditation. We're teaching them how to pray. pray, because what Swamiji is saying to us in this book is that true faith is self-realization. Until we get to that point of having true faith, we can't be self-realized. We can't be doubting, questioning. We need to find the vehicle to get us to that place of the belief that we are then cultivating into true faith. So we have to, in our prayers, to be able to come to the point in this story, the challenge that's presented. Jesus says, if you believe and you see a mountain, you could move the mountain. Now, I won't speak for anybody else, and I'll own it. I really am not sure I could actually move the mountain. Just by saying that, I know it precludes my doing it. Swamiji tells a lot of cute stories about that, but that's where I am. On the other hand, when I think about that mountain as being all of the delusion that I live with, when I think of all the ways that I'm still drawn out, that I'm still looking to feel safe or secure in ways other than in the divine, then I say to myself, now there's a mountain that I can start moving. I can do that. I'm going to start praying to magnetize God's presence in my life. I'm going to start praying to be more and more and more deeply attuned to the awareness of God's presence in my life, to be shown that kind of spiritual power and spiritual magnetism where I will find the truth. And then the truth becomes, we could all move the mountain. But until then, we have to say to ourselves, what is our mountain that's obstructing our view of the magnificence of the world? How can we use our prayer to get us from here to there? Swamiji talks a lot about some of the tests that we face in our lives. They can be so hard. You know, we've all gone through this. You have a test that you're going through. And many times, and I've said this, I'll be sitting in front of my altar and I'll be saying to these gurus, you're absolutely sure about this, right? This really belongs in my life. I'm really supposed to live up to this or overcome this. Are you certain? Very often you get, yes, you're certain. Because the test winds out to be absolutely perfect for us. The right people appear. The right opportunities appear. The right doors open. The right doors close. We don't know that in the moment. But because life and belief is the hypothesis, we need tests to prove it, to develop our faith, or to move it from belief into faith. And we realize later, because we're praying for God to come into our lives, he's going to come in with tests. It's the way it happens. It's what we would want. We want to get stronger. We want to expand. And so they come and they're hard. But we realize that we could never have learned that lesson in any other way. There's not another way at all that we could have gotten from where we were to that deeper understanding, to that knowing. So often it's not what we get when we pray, because we're going to get some of those, but it is how we pray. It's all in how we pray that moves us. And then accepting, are we praying for God's presence, for that attunement to his will, not our will, so that we're not trying to traverse a waterfall with our own will, because we'll fall. But we will not fall if we're attuned to the divine will. So that's what we want to do. We want to meet each test and say, oh, this is the answer to my prayer for your presence in my life. This is how it's going to happen. And then we say to ourselves, okay, let me pray then with great sincerity, really saying to God, yes, I want you. Whatever it is I need in my life, bring it now. I'm ready. With great concentration means stilling our mind so that it's not wandering all the time, but we're really calling to God with that deep desire, with that true knowing that faith is steeped in that spiritual power, in that spiritual presence that lies right at our very center. If we are praying for things that are in tune with God's will, which is another way to pray, we can know right now that if we're praying for anything that's in tune with God's will, it's already ours. We'll get that. If we're praying for things that are in tune with spiritual qualities, if we're praying for more joy, more peace, less fear, less judgment, those are the prayers that open doors and that let the divine come in and take charge of our lives. This is the path we're on, the path of self-realization. This life that we're living needs the test. It needs to continuously call on God's presence. It needs the energy, the magnetism, until we reach this point of self-realization. That is what we're being shown simply, beautifully, through Raja Yoga. If you haven't done it before, come and do it. If you've taken it again, because wherever we are, there's more that shows us. And then it takes away our doubt, because what gets in the way of us being able to pray with sincerity, with energy, with concentration, with deep devotion, it's all the doubt that we carry. We can either increase the flow of energy when we pray, which means praying more, with more intensity, with all of our will, letting God know we mean it, or we can remove resistance. And resistance is most often there in the form of doubt. That's why it's a joke that I could stand here and say, I already know I can't move the mountain. Big doubt. Guess what? Of course I can't move the mountain. I'm dictating that just by the amount of doubt that's there. But the more that we can remove the doubt, the more we might say, I know I can't do that, but God can do it. God can do everything. That's why we're using our prayers to magnetize His will. Because with His will, miracles can and will happen. Jyotish said once that at the end of every single meditation, every time he sits to meditate, Jyotish is the spiritual director of all of Ananda Worldwide. He said, I end every meditation by saying, God, Divine Mother, let me be ever increasingly more deeply attuned to thy will, and let me be a perfect channel of your will into this world. What a beautiful way to end every meditation. And Yogananda tells us, and Swamiji tells us, meditate and then pray at the end of your meditation. Why? Because the energy is drawn up, because the focus is there, because the invitation is absolutely, utterly clear. You know, so many of our prayers are answered by an intuitive knowing. It's not we get exactly what we want. It's not that we necessarily hear it in words. I had a profound experience just a few weeks ago, I did a long meditation. It happened to have been my birthday. I wasn't really praying for, I did my usual prayer, help me attune myself, and, you know, what I usually pray. I wasn't looking for guidance for the rest of my life. I didn't say in this meditation, show me. But I'd been knowing that it was a time in my life where changes would be happening. As I sat to meditate that day, I could never figure out the word for it, and then it came to me. It was like a massive program was downloaded on a brand new computer like that. Just suddenly, it's in. You know it. You know it's true. You don't question it. It's your guidance. That's what can happen after a long meditation. That's why they say, use that time to pray. We pray before we meditate, but pray at the end of meditation when we are spiritually most open, most concentrated, heart wide open, feeling most devotional. And then we have the possibility of having those kinds of downloads come. And maybe for many of us, it would be useful to incorporate Jyotish's prayer into our own. Help us to feel thy will and to act accordingly, and let us be perfect channels of thy will into this world.
Life is a dream, time like a stream, care is our burdens away. Never despair, joy's everywhere, love can befriend you today. Free from all care, soar above griefs and worries, seek joy and be gay. Often on earth, things of great worth, worldly ambitions define. Sometimes a friend helps us ascend up from life's cares to the sky. Love is our star, though shining afar, it can guide us and help us toward light to draw nigh.
Life is a dream, time like a stream, carries our burden.
Star, though shining afar, it can guide us.